Israel presents.
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky. This show is for Parshat Vayikra, but it's also for the month of Nisan. Today, recording and first broadcast is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is like a Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the first month of the year, month number one. The month in which we came out of Egypt, the month which symbolizes Geula, redemption, the month where the dead of winter changes or begins to change into the rebirth of spring. This is something on a national level, this is something on a personal level, and it is part of nature. Shortly, I will launch into a long presentation of our appreciation of nature. The fact of the matter is, I just finished recording it before these opening words that I'm saying now. I'm having trouble with my computer and does not take the microphone the way it used to, so I'm recording on a recorder, and I decided to first do that major chunk which you will here shortly, which I'll have to divide between the rest of this half of the show and part of the next half of the show. Now you're getting the opening remarks. It is the 26th of March, and this Shabbat is Parshat Vayikra, as I mentioned. It's sort of a lull kind of Shabbat between the four special Shabbatot, which we have had until now, until next week, which is Shabbat HaGadol, followed by Pesach. And this is just plain Parshat Vayikra. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk a little bit about Vayikra, but in the meantime, we focus on the month of Nisan and various other aspects, and hopefully a little bit about Pesach as well. But let me now do Psalm 121, Tehillim Kuf Kaf Aleph. This is the one that we say when, which is not a rule of any sort, it's sort of a rule that I made up, a rule of thumb, that when we say Tachanun on any given day, the psalm we will read is Kuf Lamed 130, but when we don't say Tachanun, as we don't on Rosh Chodesh, as we will not during the entire month of Nisan, we do 121. Shir Lama Alot, Esa Einai El Heharim Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Me'im Adonai, Osei Shamayim Va'aretz. Al Yitain Lamot Raglecha, Al Yanum Shomerecha. Hinei Lo Yanum V'lo Yishan, Shomer Yisrael. Adonai Shomerecha, Adonai Tzilecha, Al Yad Yeminecha. Yomam Hashemesh Lo Yakeka V'yareach Baloila. Adonai Yishmorcha Mikol Ra Yishmoret Nafshecha. Adonai Yishmor Tzeitecha Uvoecha Me'ata V'ad Olam. Achinu Kol Beit Yisrael Hanatunim Batzara Uvashivya Ha'omedim Bein Bayam Uvein Bayabasha Hamakom Yirachem Aleihem V'yotzieim Mitzara L'Yirvacha U'me'afela L'ora U'mishibud L'geula Hashta Ba'agala U'vizman Kariv V'nomar Amen.
Achinu kol beis Yisrael Hanesunim batzara uvashivya Haimdim, haimdim bein bayam Uvein bayabasha Achenu kol beis Yisrael. Hanasunim batzara uvashivya.
I'd like to revisit a topic that I've spoken about in the past with a perspective on what's lying in front of us. Today, recording and first broadcast, is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first day of the month of Nisan, the beginning officially of spring in the Jewish calendar, is the beginning of the month in which we have an annual opportunity to make a special bracha called Birkat Ilanot, a blessing for or on trees. Not any trees, but it is specifically fruit trees when they are in blossom before they start to bear fruit. In other words, Shulchan Aruch, Jewish law says that when a person goes out in the month of Nisan, and this bracha should be said only in the month of Nisan, if you see fruit trees in blossom earlier, as we do here in Israel, on the Shkediah, the almond tree, we don't say the bracha yet. We wait until Nisan, that is the month designated for this blessing. And when you see fruit trees, preferably a minimum of two, in blossom, apple blossom, peach blossom, etc., you recite a bracha, begins with the usual Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Shaloh Chisar Ba'olamo Davar, God has not missed a trick in his world, did not leave out anything. Uvoravo Briot Tovot V'ilanot Tovim La'anot Behem B'nei Adam, and created good things, beautiful things, pleasant things, and beautiful trees for the pleasure and benefit of mankind, of human being. This bracha could be accompanied by some tehillim that are recommended for it, but the essential observance is the reciting of this bracha. It is said only once a year, as I said, only during the month of Nisan, and when you see preferably two trees, meaning it can be done on only one, if that's all you see, but preferably two trees, because the plural is used in the blessing, for fruit trees, before they bear fruit, when they flower. The idea behind the specific detail of blossoming fruit trees, I believe, is to acknowledge and appreciate God's creation of a bonus, a fringe benefit. The tree bearing fruit, its main benefit to us, is the fruit that it provides us with. And if an apple tree would do no more than give us fruit, apples, it would certainly be worth its while to be part of nature. People question the value of a mosquito, and there is a reason for even a mosquito, but they question it. Nobody would question the value of an apple tree. And yet, weeks before the fruits start to develop, the tree blossoms with beautiful flowers, fragrant odor, fragrant smell, and dazzle us with a beauty of senses that bring a special smile to our lips and to our heart, not only in anticipation of the fruit that it will provide, but enjoying the moment of its blossoming. And it's a special bracha that acknowledges God as the creator of these special trees for us, and their special display before they actually get down to the serious business of giving us fruit. Beginning of every month, we have a time, beginning and ending, and preferred for Kiddush Levana. Kiddush Levana is a bracha, a blessing to God, that is recited outdoors at night in the presence of a moon, beginning from its crescent of at least 3 days old, 7 days according to some opinions, and going on till full moon. There are technicalities as to how we calculate full moon and first opportunity, but let's leave that aside. Just know that different from Birkat Ilanot, which I described first, which is a yearly blessing, here I am talking now about a monthly bracha that acknowledges God for his creation of the heavenly bodies, specifically of the moon, to which we, the Jewish people, tend to relate, especially because of the phases that it goes through, waxing and waning, as the Jewish people have done throughout our history. It's a monthly blessing. It is equated to Kabbalat Pnei HaShchinah, greeting the royal presence. There is this monthly bracha that I'm talking about, which is on our agenda starting Sunday night, according to many opinions, or next Thursday night, according to other opinions, and continuing until Pesach night, Seder night. And there is a yearly blessing, Birkat HaIlanot, which can be said any time during the month of Nisan, the earlier the better, because mitzvah haba liyadcha, al tachmitzena, a mitzvah that comes your way, you should not let it sit and sour, but you should take an opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah enthusiastically and with alacrity. Then, there is a special bracha, which we will be reciting in Yirtzeh Hashem this year on Erev Pesach. That would be Wednesday, April 8th. It is not a monthly blessing, nor is it a yearly blessing. It is a rare, once-in-28-year experience. I have mentioned this in previous shows. We're getting closer to it, and I want to purposely tie it in with Birkat Ilanot and Kiddush Levana, although each one is totally independent of the others. Birkat Hachama is a bracha which is recited on the Wednesday morning following the Tuesday evening vernal equinox, not the actual vernal equinox, but the calculated vernal equinox, which is halachically acceptable for the purpose of calculation, which is inaccurate, but based on a 28-year cycle. And this bracha is recited in the first year of each 28-year cycle, specifically in April this year, as well as the previous one in 1981, and the one before that in 53, and the one before that in 25, have all been on Wednesday, April 8th. There was a previous one, many previous ones, but the one before that was 1897, and in that century it was Wednesday, April 7th. This has to do with the adjustment of the calendar from the Julian to the Gregorian, but that's not of interest for us at this moment. The fact of the matter is, there is a once-in-28-year bracha that acknowledges the cycle of the sun, and by our tradition, it is said when the sun has returned to the position in the sky relative to the earth, as it was placed on the original Wednesday, the original Yom Revi'i, fourth day of creation. And it's a special thing. Of interest here is what the blessing is. It is a simple bracha, and it is a familiar bracha. How can a once-in-28-year bracha be familiar? The answer is that rather than compose a special blessing for the sun on that day, Chazal, our sages, opted to take one of the standard brachot for events of nature and use it for that morning, that once in every 28 year morning of Wednesday, April 8th now, as Birkat HaChama, the blessing for the sun. It is a blessing to God that acknowledges and appreciates that God is the Oseh Ma'aseh Vereshit, the one who continues to do the acts of creation. Bereshit refers to in the beginning. Ma'aseh Vereshit are the acts of creation that brought the world into existence. And the Oseh Ma'aseh Vereshit is God, the one who not once upon a time, a long time ago, created the world, but the God who created the world and continues to maintain supervision on it every single day. As we say in the daily prayer, HaMechadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh V'Reshit. He who renews the acts of creation with his chesed, HaMechadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid B'tuvo, in his goodness, Ma'aseh V'Reshit, renews creation daily. We believe that there is a continual and perhaps a continuous hand of God in the nature that operates in this world. I personally find it very significant that our sages chose not to make a unique bracha for Birkat HaChama, but made the statement, do not see the sun, which we're familiar with from every single day, and the cycle of our day is based on the sun, and the cycle of the month is really based on the moon, which gets its light from the sun, and the phases are due to the relative position of the moon and the sun at any given point, and the year is based on the sun, and the seasons are based on the sun. So Chazal said once every 28 years, when there's a definitive cycle, at least in this easily understood way of the beginning of spring returning to that specific point of creation in a 28-year pattern. Again, I say this is not accurate. It's not meant to be accurate. It's meant to be within our grasp. There are people today in their 20s and even in their early 30s who either were not around in 1981 when we had Birkat HaChama last, or were too young to remember the experience. There are people in their mid-30s, late-30s, and onward who remember Birkat HaChama in one way or the other. Add to that people in their early 60s who were around for the previous one in 1953, but were too young to remember that. And fewer people who were in their late 60s or 70s who remember Birkat HaChama of 1953 and of 1981 and are hopefully looking forward to saying Birkat HaChama once again in 2009. Hold that thought. Stay tuned for more Torah Tidbits audio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to
Torah Tidbits Audio.
Rest your eyes.
Side point. I have an article which has been mailed around by email to different people. It is an article that appeared in the New York Times on Thursday, April 8th. 1897, which would make it 4 Birkat HaChamas ago. The headline, Hebrew Festival Marred. Subtitle, Rabbi Arrested for Observance of an Ancient Talmudic Ceremony in Tompkins Square. Bolder letters, The Blessing of the New Sun. Smaller letters again. No permit had been thought necessary for the gathering, and Policeman Foley could not understand what it meant. Dash occurs once in 28 years. The article continues, just the opening words brought a smile to my face, Orthodox Hebrews. I didn't realize that we were not always called Orthodox Jews. The word Jew does not appear in this article at all. I don't know when the word Jew replaced the word Hebrew in English to refer to people of the Jewish faith. But here, it's a Hebrew festival marred, not a Jewish festival. And Orthodox Hebrews in every part of the world celebrated yesterday what is familiarly known among them as the New Sun. I don't know why it's called that. Maybe it was a term that was used and translated. The festival comes once every 28 years on the fourth day of the first week of the Hebrew month Nisan, which is not so. It sometimes is in the first week of Nisan. This year it's in the second week of Nisan. There are times where it's in the third week of Nisan, or even a little bit later, and there are times that it's in the end of Adar, because it goes by the secular calendar, the 365 and a quarter day calendar, really of the Julian calendar, translated into the Gregorian, but let's not get lost in there. Anyway, the article continues that there was a rabbi, Weschler, and a rabbi Klein, who brought a congregation in this park for the recital of Birkat HaChama. Remember, we're talking about 112 years ago, 1897. Rabbi Klein ran from the scene when his arrest seemed imminent. Rabbi Wexler was caught and brought before a magistrate, who dismissed the charges because it was a public gathering without a permit. And the judge was convinced that Rabbi Wexler did not know such a permit would be necessary. And it describes the way they tried to explain to this policeman. There's even a very tongue-in-cheek, facetious way of describing that the Foley's, that was his name, the policeman, faculties of comprehension of matter, of matters outside of police work and park regulations and local events are not acute, which means you were dealing with an Irish cop who didn't understand the broken English of the rabbi who tried to explain to him what Birkat HaChama is. I just thought this was very amusing because I personally remember well 1981. I do not remember 1953. I was a little boy at the time. And nobody has told me about their memories of it. And going back before that, 1925, way, way before my time, my father was not even... Yes, he was. My mother was not alive in 1925 in April. She was born in... I take that back. She was born in February, so she was an infant. And my father was already 2 years old, 2.5 years old. I doubt he remembered it. Both of them are gone, and I can't ask them about it, even the 1953 one. So it's the 81 that I remember, and many people are looking forward in anticipation to the 2009 one coming up 2 weeks from yesterday. So we're already into Nisan, and we're talking about the 14th day of Nisan. I emphasize that Birkat HaChama is not dated by the Jewish calendar, but is dated by the secular calendar. And during the 20th century and the 21st century that we are in, however many times we have it, it will always be Wednesday, April 8th. Back in the 19th century, 1897 as an example, it was Wednesday, April 7th. After the year 2100, which is not a leap year, it will be on Wednesday, April 9th, and that's how it goes. So there are all kinds of statistics and calculations, and I tend to get a little carried away. Let's now pull everything back into focus. We're dealing here with not a blessing of the sun, and certainly not to the sun. We're talking always about brachot, blessings to God, acknowledging God daily as we do in prayer for renewing the light of day, which is sort of an oblique reference to the sun. We acknowledge him yearly in just the conduct of the seasons, and we have the special acknowledgement of God for the large solar cycle of 28 years by this simple ceremony, which has been enhanced or whatever, supplemented by various chapters of Tehillim and readings from the Torah and other passages, as you will see if you participate in a shul-wide or community-wide observance of Birkat HaChama this year. But putting it into the same discussion with the monthly Kiddush Levana, the yearly Birkat Ilanot, the once in 28 year Birkat HaChama, the common feature, the common denominator is nature, is always to be seen by us as part of God's creation and his continued mastery of this world. That's what we say in the elaborate bracha for Kiddush Levana every month, and that's what's contained within the very condensed words of Oseh Ma'aseh Vereshit. I emphasize Oseh as a continuing term rather than a past tense kind of thing. And the yearly blessing also spells out the goodly trees for which we appreciate God. We do not pray to the sun. We do not pray to the moon. We don't pray to the trees. We don't pray to nature. We pray to God. We say a blessing to God for the nature that he created for us and placed us in this world to benefit from, to respect, and sometimes to be concerned with. I believe a person with a healthy perspective on this, who sees it as part of the nature that God created, is doing the right kind of thing, thinking the right kind of thoughts. We say, this is not quite a digression, but it goes to a topic which I have presented on Shabbat of Parshat Voet Chanan, Shabbat Nachamu, but I'll say it here again. In Parshat Voet Chanan, which is towards the beginning of the book of Dvarim, Deuteronomy, Moshe Rabbeinu seems very concerned that because God is invisible and intangible, that people might over-venerate nature, looking for something more tangible or more within our, their experience to grab hold of. And he says, be very careful to protect and preserve your souls, lest you make graven images of various elements of nature, animals, human beings, or whatever, or lest you raise your eyes heavenward and worship the sun or the moon or the stars, to realize that just because you did not see anything visible on the day of revelation at Sinai does not mean that God is not here and is not to be the sole recipient of our worship and our veneration and our prayers and our blessings. And my reaction to that, especially when it came to be careful lest you raise your eyes to the heavens, is based upon the fact that I believe the most attractive, logical, reasonable pitfall in the whole area of idolatry is sun worship. I can see people throughout the history of the world looking up. People can look at the sun or not look at the sun because it's too powerful to look at, recognize it as that which gives light and warmth and energy and really life to Earth, to all living creatures. That's very, very impressive. And that's very attractive to go in the direction of some kind of improper veneration or worship of the sun. Maimonides, Rambam, in his first chapter in the Laws of Idolatry, warns about that. He said that there was a mistake made way, way back, the third generation of the world, Enosh, grandson of Adam, who in his time, people said, the sun is the major creation of God, and we can show our honor to God by also venerating the sun. Mistake. And it's a mistake that snowballed in subsequent generations to prophets prophesying in the name of the sun, to temples being built in honor of the sun, to images, perhaps a gold orb in honor of the sun, and God disappeared from that factor. And then it proliferated into worship of other elements of nature, and it depended upon where a community of peoples lived in order to determine what they would choose. the god of the sea and the god of the mountain and the god of the volcano and all of these kind of things. And that's where your polytheism comes, and that's where people went in the direction of forgetting about one supreme divine being. It was not, says the Rambam, until the time of Avraham Avinu, where he rediscovered belief in one God from Adam through Avraham till Avraham, Abraham. There were individuals who believed in one God, but the overwhelming majority of mankind went away from belief in God to a polytheistic kind of belief, which is forbidden not just for Jews, which there were none at the time, but for all peoples of the world. And we acknowledge Abraham, as the one who restored monotheism, a belief in one God, to this world, which has various and sundry forms, which has objectionable aspects to it, as well as complimentary and praiseworthy aspects to it. But that's, of course, a much larger discussion. But that warning of Rambam in his first chapter of Hilchot Avodah Zarah, or Ovdei Kochavim, Avodat Kochavim, idolatry, is a warning that's born from the fact that the sun is something that is quite impressive in our experience. I never understood moon worship, because the moon gets its light from the sun, and it's a poor reflector at that. The sun, extremely powerful. And therefore, when we, in our liturgy, in our course of halakha, the way of life that we have, acknowledge the sun, it's always in context of the sun and the moon and the stars serving God, praising God, and not being objects of our veneration, but rather being triggers to our increased honor and respect, veneration and worship of God. It is not just God. It is God who created all of this. And the Navi Yeshayahu, interestingly, it is the Haftarah on Shabbat Nachamu, the one that's read as the companion reading from the prophets for Parshat Vo'etchanan, where Moshe Rabbeinu raises all of these problems. The Navi says, Se'u marom einechem, lift your eyes heavenward, ure'u mi vora ele, and see who created all of this. You have that healthy perspective, and it comes from the way that we say, not just the once in 28-year Birkat HaChama, and not just the once a month bracha of Kiddush Levana, and not just a this or a that. It's every bracha that we make. You pick up an apple, you make a borei pri ha'etz. God, who is master of the universe and the creator of the fruit of the tree. Not the fruit of the tree, but the creator of the fruit of the tree. And our blessing goes not to the apple, but to God. Now, I could put it in a cutesy way by saying, what's the blessing on an apple, or what's the bracha for an apple? Technically, we don't make a bracha for an apple. We make a bracha to God for his gift of an apple. It's the same thing, but it's a matter of perspective and a matter of priorities and a matter of how we feel about these things. Birkat HaChama is coming up. It's a real thought-provoking and object of pondering. There are many books that have been published about it, and you still have time to read them before we do Birkat HaChama. The next time after that is going to be 28 years later, in 2037. Who knows what's going to be by then, but here's an opportunity. But then we should look into our yearly cycle, and our monthly cycle, and our weekly cycle, and our daily cycle. And then all other kind of things. The bracha Oseh Maaseh V'Reishit of once in 28 years is the same bracha we use when we see lightning during a storm, the same bracha that is recited on a shooting star. Think about it for a moment. A shooting star is not a star. A shooting star is a meteor, which could be a space pebble, a pebble in outer space that gets attracted by the Earth's gravitational pull, and while it is streaking at great speed through the atmosphere produces friction which burns it up, and a bright flash across the nighttime sky is perceived as what we call a shooting star or a meteorite or whatever. That, compared to the sun, unimaginably large and hot, the sun itself being an average-sized and hot star, stars far, far larger than the sun, and brighter than the sun, and hotter than the sun, although not from where we're sitting. From our perspective on Earth, the great luminaries are the sun and the moon, the sun the major one, the moon the lesser one, reflecting the light of the sun, and stars being merely pinpoints of light because of their great distances from us. If we look at Birkat HaChama as a springboard towards an appreciation of God's creation of the world and of nature, it's good. If we look at it as anything akin to, God forbid, sun worship, or anything close to that, we got big problems, and we have to be careful with it. Maybe next week, Emir Tzashem, will talk a little bit more about it on a practical basis, but people should already be knowing when their communities are doing Birkat HaChama. And even though it could be done by one person on his own when the sun rises that morning, I'll just give a couple of details. You have to wait not just for the sunrise, which is the first piece of the body of the sun above the horizon. You have to wait until the entire orb of the sun is above the horizon, which would be about 5 minutes or so after sunrise as posted. And if the sun is obscured by clouds, you're supposed to wait until it's clear. You've got the first 3 hours of the day in order to say Birkat HaChama, and those are not 3 hours on the clock, but they're a little bit longer than 3 hours on the clock because we subdivide the daytime into 12 parts, and each one is a halachic hour. But all of these things are details, and you should read about them, and you should look them up on the internet, and there are some lovely websites which have details on Birkat HaChama. The thing to, important thing in my opinion, is to plug it in to an overall acknowledgement, awareness, appreciation, and a show of gratitude to God for his creation of this world. Speaking of nature as God's creation in general, which we have been, and trees specifically because of the upcoming, beginning today, Birkat Ilanot, there's a beautiful passage in the Talmud that was made into a song. A person wants to give a blessing to another fellow, and he says, I don't really know what to say to you. I'll give you a mushal, an analogy. What do you say to a tree? A person goes into the wilderness, he's hungry, he's tired, and he's thirsty. He finds a tree with beautifully sweet fruits and pleasant shade and a stream running right by underneath the tree. He eats the fruits, he drinks the water, and he sits in the shade. And he says, I would like to say something to you. How can I bless you? If I'll say, let your fruits be sweet, they already are. And if I say, let your shade be pleasant, it already is. And if I say, let there be pleasant stream running by, there already is. What I will say is, Yehi Ratzon, may it be God's will, that all of the plantings and from you should be like you, all of the offshoots. So too it is with you, the other person. How can I bless you? With Torah, you have Torah. With wealth, you have wealth. With children, you have children. But I will say to you, may it be God's will, Sheyehyu tzeetzaei me'echa kamocha, that your descendants and your offshoots should be just like you. Shabbat shalom, chodesh tov lehishtameah.
no et mi mechoyim.